Blog Talk Radio.
By our great friend Ryan Ballingy to talk about the European Ryder Cup picks and to preview the Ryder Cup picks for the United States of America that will come after next week's BMW Championship. European Captain Darren Clark made his picks today. We will go into them. Coming up on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling in future weeks, we will dive in the NFL. We have an NFL preview show coming your way Labor Day Monday. That's next Monday, September the, I think it's the 2nd. It is the 5th, excuse me. The 5th. September the 2nd is Friday. I don't know why I messed that up. The Ryder Cup, by the way, is September 30th through October the 2nd. So it starts a month from today. Will be the first matches. And you can watch all of that on Golf Channel and NBC. Lots of people will be helping provide that coverage. That comes your way, as I said, starting September the 30th. To Golf Channel and NBC. Now, the Ryder Cup, U.S. China, fight back and get that Ryder Cup. Davis Love has three captain's picks that will be made following next week's BMW Championship. I believe those picks are made. When is it? I believe it is Monday the 12th of September, and then he has the Billy Horschel pick, the last pick for anybody who gets hot in the FedEx Cup. That will come Sunday Night Football, the 25th of September, right after the conclusion of the Tour Championship. During that Sunday Night Football game on NBC, you will get a captain's pick during the half from Davis Love, who will be captaining that team. This will be anchored probably by Phil Mickelson, I would think, would be the team leader of that team. Davis hinted as much yesterday in his conversations with the media, and we will go from there to Hazeltine, Chaska, Minnesota. Always love saying the name, Chaska, Minnesota, northern Minnesota. The U.S. tries to win back the Ryder Cup. You are listening to Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling on Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and available always on iTunes. You can get every one of our shows going back to 2011 or so on iTunes. Search Teeing It Up or search Jeremy Schilling. We are going to take a 30-second timeout and come right back. Ryan Ballingy will talk the Ryder Cup when we return to Teeing It Up on this summer Tuesday leading into Memorial Day weekend. For now, we will take you to the new host of Football Night in America for Thursdays, for Thursday Night Football starting in November. It is Mr. Bob Costas.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
Back here on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. As we await the arrival of our friend on the show, Ryan Ballengee. It's an interesting week. It's an interesting, time. To look at the game. You know, we have Patrick Reed, who says he's a top five player and certainly a top five caliber player, winning the Barclays to kick off the FedEx Cup playoffs. And in that, we see somebody who game may be coming around at the right time. We look at Ricky Fowler, meanwhile, who stumbled, and we'll get into this with Ryan on if he deserves a captain's pick after some of the play we've seen this year. And if this is that concept of pressing too hard to try and make the team versus just relaxing and letting it happen, which we may see out of somebody like a Zach Johnson who can now take a deep breath and have some fun. So it's very interesting, the dynamic between players, the dynamic between guys, the dynamic between different agendas. We have guys that are going for the top 30 in the FedEx Cup, top 50 in the world, who still have pillars to get to and mountains to climb this year, while you take a guy like John Hunt, who made the top 125, secured his PGA Tour card for next year, and now is really playing with house money, going for a $35 million prize pool and a $10 million grand prize, who can just kind of wing it for these weeks and just kind of get in there on nice cruise control and try to finish it out. So it is really a mixture of multiple agendas and a mixture of guys on different different agendas, different ships, so to speak, trying to all get in there and get the ultimate grand prize at the end, which is $10 million or a Ryder Cup trip or a trip down Magnolia Lane to Augusta. If you end up in the top 30, you get a ticket to the first three majors of next year, which is why it's such a big deal, and you have to go to the WGCs. And we always talk about when you get your card, you can set your schedule. Well, when you're in that next level, that's when you can really set your schedule. We are joined on Teeing It Up by our friend from Yahoo's Devil Ball Golf blog, Mr. Ryan Ballengee. Hello, sir.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
Great time of year. We get to talk about the good old Ryder Cup, the event that does things to people that do some really weird things and can lead to people hitting tops and shanks and all sorts of squirrely shots. The European team is now set. They have Darren Clarke announced his three captains' picks. Those picks are Thomas Peters, Lee Westwood, and Martin Kaymer. This is a team that ultimately had a lot of rookies on it to begin with. So I think a lot of people thought that it might take some veterans, and that's what he did with Westwood and Kaymer. The European team is Rory, Danny Willett, Henrik Stenson, Chris Wood, Sergio, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Justin Rose, Andy Sullivan, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and these three guys. Were you surprised first, Ryan, by the Westwood and Kaymer picks?
No, I thought those were kind of the locks, more or less. I thought that those guys would be of the guys that were in contention. We really had four at this point that were kind of with an opportunity to make the team. I thought those were the most likely to get there. Westwood's been in 9 Ryder Cups. He has a 2015-6 record. He's a great friend to Darren Clarke. They share the same agent, and there's all of that lines up. Kaymer, for whatever reason, there is a respect there. I think in part because he clinched the Ryder Cup in 2012. With the miracle at Medina, I think the other part is that his loyalty to the European tour, particularly, this year he really didn't have a choice. he didn't play enough times on the PGA Tour, but to keep his status. But he has played well of late. He's played basically well since May. I mean, late is 3 months at this point. And because he's played that well, I think it made a lot of sense for him to make the team too. And then it kind of comes down to Peters and Russell Knox. Peters played alongside Darren Clark, who basically is allowed to fix the European Tour's pairings at his will, since he's the Ryder Cup captain, which I find absolutely fascinating. And they played alongside each other on Thursday, and Peters knew it was on the line, the final week of automatic qualifying. It was the final opportunity for him to play in front of Darren Clark. And what does he do? He shoots 62, and then he wins the tournament. So I think that stood out for Clark, and he said as much today. Whereas Russell Knox really never had that opportunity. He won the WGC HSBC Champions. He won the Travelers Championship. Both of those are PGA Tour events. Obviously, the Federation of Tour sanctions the WGC. But neither of those were in front of Darren Clark. And I think in the end, that made the difference, along with his lack of general ties to the European Tour.
That's what I want to get into, because this is a little bit inside baseball, but I think it's important because I look at it and say Russell Knox is a better player to have on this European Ryder Cup team, and Darren Clark picked the poor one. For me, and correct me if I'm wrong, since you're somebody who's probably done a lot more digging on this than I have, it seems to me that because the Ryder Cup and home Ryder Cups are the only time the European Tour produces a profit, that the Ryder Cup is essentially the event that not only is big for the European Tour, but has to feed in and include European-grown talent, because they want to be able to say to the fans who buy in for 1 week a year, hey, stay with us, you can go visit all these other people other weeks of the year. And that when you look at Peters, who is bought into the European Tour, that's where he plays mostly, versus Knox, who only picked up his membership for the European Tour late after he won in China, plays a lot over here versus over there. He's less of a, for lack of a better term, native son to the European Tour. And that back room stuff, plus what Darren Clark saw up close playing with him, could have ultimately helped decide this. What's your take on my take?
I mean, I think the European Tour is its ownership of the their half of the Ryder Cup is incredibly important in setting up the picks. In one sense, I don't think that the pressure placed on a captain is overt. Not like, hey, you better pick somebody who has shown a loyalty to the European Tour other than just holding membership. Because you have to be a European Tour member to even be considered, which is absolutely silly, because Paul Casey should be on this team. But I think that there is a kind of a relevance there to it, that all right, you need to have people who show respect for the process, who show respect for the European Tour, that we have asked you as someone who wants to play on the Ryder Cup to represent Europe. You've got to be pretty active on this tour, and you can't just gallivant on the PGA Tour, even though we've got this world point system, and earn a bunch of points and then hope to make a captain's pick off that. But basically, if you want to be picked, you better play a lot in Europe, and you better kind of bow at the feet of the European Tour, so to speak. So I think that is a good thing. I think that shows the importance of the European Tour to itself, basically. I mean, this is their big money maker. This is the thing that they, every couple of years, get a lot of money off of. And obviously, as the host, every 4 years, get an extra amount of money off of. So this is a super important event to them, to their viability as an organization, as a business model. And that's why that culture exists, I think.
Was it the right decision? And Knox told Doug Ferguson, Darren Clark said at the press conference that it's about the team room and the dynamics and everything that's involved in it, and hinted that he would be an outsider. And as Knox said, to Doug Ferguson, he was hard-pressed to think of another European who plays primarily in this country and barely knows Darren or his assistants. Do you think ultimately for Team Europe and for Darren Clark, they made the right decision here?
I think that Knox is a better pick over Keimer, but I'm a little biased, and I watch Russell Knox more frequently on the PGA Tour. And Martin
right.
Keimer did well, very well in the second half of the year. So I completely understand the picks. I would not have gone with Keimer. I would have gone Westwood, Knox, Peters. That's what I tweeted out. But I get the rationale for it. And the positive for Darren Clark and the European side is they had four pretty good candidates for three spots. Versus if you look at the American side of things, Davis Love III has to make four picks. And I don't necessarily feel all that great that he's going to make four picks that will have a genuinely positive impact on the team.
And that's a great point, and that's something that we will get to a bit later, because I think that that is a major problem for Davis Love, except that if you look at what the U.S. team is now, arguably they're in a different spot when it comes to their picks. What I want to look at now is this lineup overall. If you look at the heavyweights, which is Sergio, Rose, Stenson, if he's healthy, and then Mr. McIlroy, I think we have guys up there. I think you and I would both, you know, would both say that we think we'll get good golf out of that. Danny Willett has not played very well since Augusta. I don't know what his best finish is offhand, but I'm not sure he's even had a top 15 or top 25. I wonder what it's going to be like for him. This has been a really tough season. You wonder that, you know, how it's felt like being introduced as the Masters champion everywhere has been. I wonder what that first tee is going to be like for him come September 30th.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because Rory McIlroy mentioned that after the Barclays on Sunday and said, hey, you know, this is kind of the assessment of the team. I talk to Darren Clark fairly regularly. Yes, we've got guys who have won major championships, namely Danny Willett, but he's a Ryder Cup rookie. He's never going to have anything that has prepared him for the feeling of the first tee of the Ryder Cup. And so I think that tells you, at least in the view of the guys who have done this before, the value of experience. And that gives you some insight into why Darren Clark went the way that he did for a road game. Maybe if it was a European home game, maybe he picks Russell Knox and says to Lee Westwood, hey, I know you're my good buddy, but I want you to be on the team, but as a vice captain, because I can get somebody else some reps in here in a friendly setting. So for Willett, you're right. He has not posted a top 25 finish on the PGA Tour or the European Tour since winning the Masters. No, I take that back. I'm sorry. He finished third in the BMW PGA Championship. Had a chance to win that, kind of let it slip away to Chris Wood. So, yeah, you got guys who, with a relative lack of experience, have varying degrees of success of late. Now, Fitzpatrick played pretty well. Thomas Peters obviously has played well, fourth, second, first in his last three starts. Andy Sullivan has been very good this year, really the last 2 years, but he's been good this year on the European Tour. Rafa Cabrera-Bello has obviously done well enough to earn PGA Tour membership, is going to take part in that next season. So, but again, none of this is going to prepare you for that. That feeling that you're going to go through being a team, that you're going to go through being heckled by, even if it isn't the nice people of the Midwest, that you're still going to get heckled because you're the enemy combatant, so to speak. So I think it'll be super interesting to see how those guys handle the experience. But I think that they'll do okay. And I think that if you look at there's just such little of a sample set to tell us how well they're actually going to do. But Will Haskett did an article for us yesterday. It came up to the opposite conclusion that really, if you're given the choice, you should pick a veteran because they tend to do better, especially if they're in form. So we'll see how much those two veterans mean, and we'll see how much those rookies can stand up to what will be a tremendous amount of pressure in a hostile environment.
Yeah. Chris Wood interests me because this is a guy who, if you follow golf, you've seen his name on leaderboards, but he hasn't really had that moment. And he won the BMW PGA Championship, which is the European Tour's flagship event. he's kind of put himself up there a little bit, but he hasn't broken through at a major. He hasn't broken through at a World Golf Championship event. He's kind of stuck one level down. And yet, the flip side of that is Matthew Fitzpatrick, who you, I, and I think everybody else who watches golf believes is this close, that, you know, that one putt that lips out close to breaking through on a big stage and having all these great accomplishments. And I think you've got Chris Wood, the veteran, who's just been unable to crack that ceiling, and Fitzpatrick, the young guy, who is, you know, totally on his way to cracking that ceiling. That dichotomy fascinates me about this team.
Fitzpatrick is an interesting case, I think, because he's so highly regarded every single week, and obviously the pedigree of being a U.S. amateur champion does that to you. And he's won, obviously succeeded, and that goes a long way in building his confidence and confidence in other people in him. But if you look at his results in the majors, other than the Masters, which was a wonderful Sunday that got him there, okay, that's fine, but he's young. He can build into this, and I think he probably thought when he left Northwestern after, what, one semester, that this is where his trajectory was going. He's fulfilling that now. As you mentioned, has been a slow learner for whatever reason. Not a slow player, but just hasn't been able to kind of live up to the promise, I think, that he was billed as a developing amateur and then obviously as a young professional. I don't necessarily wonder what the experience will mean for them as Ryder Cup players, but I wonder what it'll mean for them to have the experience of being on a Ryder Cup, being around such great players, either as vice captains, captain, or their peers. What it'll mean for them down the line? Because if you think about some of the guys who have benefited from that experience, and you can include the President's Cup in this, think about Adam Scott, what it meant to get the captain's pick from Greg Norman to say, I believe in you, when he was down in the dumps. What it means to get that tap on the shoulder, either because you earned it or because you get that nod from the captain, that you belong in this group, you belong in this caliber of player, that you can represent your country, continent, whatever region. I wonder if that'll be something really meaningful for Chris Wood moving forward. I think it was a big goal for Matt Fitzpatrick, and he's met that. I think meeting that goal may mean more for him than playing on the Ryder Cup team. He set a goal and he did it. Thomas Peters set a goal and he did it, albeit with a captain's pick. So I think the Ryder Cup means different things to different guys, and how they perform that week is more a factor of how they handle the pressure than I think anything else.
Talking to Ryan Ballinger here about the Ryder Cup captain's picks, you can see the Ryder Cup September 30th through October 2nd on Golf Channel on NBC. While we have a second, let's just flip over to the Americans. This is a team that is very interesting in regards to where they currently sit, because when Ricky Fowler had the tough finish, it put Zach Johnson back in the fold. Anybody who knows and has followed this championship knows how much Zach Johnson absolutely adores this championship. So he's on it. Dustin's on it. Koepka, Phil, Reed, Snedeker, Spieth, and Jimmy Walker. You've got basically one rookie so far in Koepka, and I don't feel too good about him, which I'll get to in a second, and all guys who have been through this fire before. It does open you up to some interesting possibilities in the captain's picks beyond the whole, you know, Fowler situation. But there's, you know, Bubba's down there, Furyk's down there, all the veterans, and then you've got the J.B. Holmeses, the Justin Thomases, the Kevin Nas. There's some really off-the-wall people that Davis Love could pick both 2 weeks from now and then after the Tour Championship.
There are. And I think Love's history as captain 2012 indicates he's probably going to pick the guys he knows over the guys he doesn't. And that means, in my view, he's going to lean on Ricky Fowler. He's going to lean on Matt Kuchar. He's going to lean on Jim Furyk, because he's demonstrated in albeit a limited fashion, a limited period of time, that he's playing very good golf overall. And obviously the 58 goes a long way. So So I think those are the three guys that he automatically picks. And then you decide, do you pick Bubba Watson, who has a passion for the competition, albeit not the best record? You pick J.B. Holmes, who was part of this in 2008, was kind of the Kentucky contingent when they won at Valhalla. You pick guys who might work well with some of the other younger players in the lineup, like Justin Thomas, like Daniel Berger. If you bring on Ricky Fowler, then obviously Justin Thomas makes some sense. You got three of the four guys who went on spring break together. You can make different pairings off of that. If I'm Davis, I'm expecting Davis to pick Tetris. That's why I'm counting on, because I think he's in part motivated to get this win for this generation, that exiting generation, that because Furyk's not going to be on another Ryder Cup team, I doubt it. Mickelson could be. Hard to imagine in 2018 at 48 that he's going to make the team on points, but who knows? Tiger probably won't. Stricker, as a vice captain, probably won't. So I think he wants this one to be for the boys that he made friends with over 20, 25 years on the PGA Tour. So if that's the case, then I think we're going to have an older lineup. We're going to have an older lineup with some experience, more experience than the guys on the European side. And they're going to roll the dice with that and set up Hazeltine in a way that hopefully benefits the way that they play golf.
By the way, and Ashley Mayo from Golf Digest pointed this out, the SB 2K16 guys played Fireshead yesterday, Shinnecock today, and National Golf Links tomorrow. They are doing the touristy things when it comes to playing golf in this part of the world.
And why not? I mean, there's such great golf in New York and the New York metropolitan region that you really don't have an excuse to not take it up, unless you're one of those guys that played it. There's a Gary Player Invitational event in New York yesterday or today. And yeah, it's a nice event. It raises a lot of money for charity. So if you did that, obviously you weren't going to go do what they did, but I appreciate that they appreciate good golf courses and that they go check them out. You know, they're never going to play an event there, even if they're never going to do anything other than play it one time, maybe two times. To go do that, I think, is pretty cool.
Well, for me, I mean, we talked about this way back before the Players, how important I thought SB 2K16 was for Spieth. I think the same could be said for Ricky Fowler, because there's two guys that I want to focus on here, the first being Fowler, the second being Koepka. Ricky, I think, has this all in his head. I think he's trying too hard. I think he's trying to make this team so bad, and as soon as he relaxes, he'll be fine. And Koepka, I don't know what to think with this ankle. How he got through 36 at the PGA is a minor miracle. He's now facing that possibility at the PGA. Those two guys I'm a little skittish about.
I think Koepka will be a really fierce competitor. It just seems like that's how he strikes me, that he is supremely confident in his ability, and that in a match play situation, he's going to try and wreck you. And that might make him really interesting in a four-ball format, where even if the partner's lagging behind, he could strap him on the back and just go for it and try and shoot a really low number and put the match away by himself. And singles, I don't think there's going to be anyone that beats him. I really don't. I think he'll be interesting. No, if he's healthy. But you got the same question on the European side, too, with Henrik Stenson, who's now dealing with a knee issue related to the same knee and the meniscus area that he had operated on in the offseason. So you got a little bit of walking wounded on both sides. I think Fowler's going to be a part of this. I don't know if he's going to be – I mean, he's good in close matches. That seems like his Ryder Cup cachet. It seems like his general cachet is when it gets tight, he does pretty well. He doesn't necessarily win, but he doesn't lose, given that he's gone tightly when the U.S. has made it close. You know, when the U.S. has had a chance, it hasn't exactly been a cakewalk in any of their wins, the two in the last 10. So when they do that, they need to be as close as possible. And Fowler could be important. I mean, those half-point differences between having a win or having a loss could be the deciding factor. So I think they're both going to be important contributors just for different reasons.
I ultimately think that Bubba, Furyk, Fowler, and I mean, I saw somebody say Kuchar. I'm not as big a Kuchar guy. I think there is an X factor there, maybe Justin Thomas that could sneak up, but I think that you're pretty on when it comes to who is ultimately going to take those four captains' picks. Ryan, it's always a pleasure. It's a fun time of year, and we will be talking as we get closer to the Ryder Cup come September 30th.
Yeah, we're within, what, 30 days, so that's pretty cool. I can't wait to go cover my first Ryder Cup in person. And
oh, wow. Make sure you bring comfortable shoes. Those are long days.
I'll be prepared.
As our friend Stephanie Wayne knows, those are very long days. And if you get any kind of weather delay, it just throws everything out into, you know, into all sorts of schedule kerfuffles.
Well, hopefully that we don't have to worry about temperature dropping so low that we get some frozen stuff. Hopefully the weather's great. Nice freeze, 50, 60 degrees every day, and we have three solid days of competition.
Davis Love did say yesterday that it can get pretty weird and wild out there. So I think they're prepared for some interesting weather from that perspective. And obviously you guys are. And look, and this is something that the two of us will get to on a separate show. The behavior of American golf fans this season has been absolutely deplorable, in my opinion. Just completely, utterly deplorable. And I think that if we're not careful, the Ryder Cup could be decided on somebody's idiotic antics, and that is a scene I don't want.
I don't either, but I expect that the fans in Minnesota will be reasonably well-behaved, if not lubed up a little bit, but they generally know how to hold their liquor in the Midwest, so I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. And as you and I talked about post Baltusrol, it got a little weird on that 36-hole Sunday, so we got to hope that people stay on their best behavior. Ryan Ballingy, thanks as always for coming on Teeing It Up.
Thanks, Jeremy. See ya.
Thanks. That's Ryan. We talk NFL next week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have a great night.